Anyway, it's good to see everybody this morning. Now, last Sunday we talked, the title was God's Representatives. And we're going to carry on with that, but it's going to be a different title and a little bit different direction maybe. This morning we're going to call this Laborers in the Kingdom. According to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, probably everybody in here could quote it. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The word seek means go after, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're not to seek, look for, go after the same things the Gentiles, nations without God go after. We're called to go after God, his interest, right? His will, the things of his kingdom. And then he says, everything that you need, your money, and everybody should have said, woo, right? Because see, all of those that are against financial prosperity are really hypocrites. I tell you why. They'll work 70, 80 hours a week, 2 and 3 jobs, part-time jobs on the side. Why? For money. And that's not the way of the kingdom. God says if we'll seek his kingdom first, he'll supply all the needs, right? We don't go after that. But yet at the same time, while we're going after him, he maneuvers us to make right choices, make this choice, buy this, sell this, do this, work here, right? You can take the lowest paying job and have more than somebody that had a higher paying job that does not serve God or that is born again but still yet does not follow him. Amen? Because promotion comes from the Lord. Woo, I'm fired up this morning, I'm telling you. Now, if you got your Bible, put these glasses on. And you should have. If you don't, it'll be on the screen. And some of you, I know, don't have Amplified Classic Bible. So Beth puts it on the screen for us because this is going to be in the Amplified Classic. Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to start reading in verse 35, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages doing what? Teaching. Why does he need to teach? Number one, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? You got to have, it says over there, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But before that, it says they've got to have a preacher. How can they hear without a preacher? How can you believe in what you've never heard? You cannot. If you've never heard in healing, you won't have faith for healing. You've never heard of it. Oh, but glory to God, let somebody give their testimony of how God healed them. Or let somebody preach the word of the Lord under the anointing about the healing power of Jesus Christ, right? And then faith comes and bam. So he went about through all of their cities and all of their villages. So we got to be preachers. Oh boy, here we go. What y'all laughing about? When I say here we go, y'all know here it comes. Let me put a little disclaimer on this. Y'all watch them TV shows sometimes that has disclaimers, right? No, y'all don't watch them? You never seen Cops or anything like that? They got disclaimers on them. So I'm gonna put one out here this morning. I'm probably going to have some hard things to say and hard things to hear. Because sometimes we need our minds renewed and sometimes we just need a little tweaking about our thinking. Right? Because God has a job for us to do, and we are the ones to do it. The born again. There is nobody else. If you're born again, it's you. But for too long, the people of God, a lot of them, not everybody, have left it up to what we call the fivefold ministers. The pastors, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, right? All of them to do the work of the ministry. And that is right backwards of what the Word says. The Word says the fivefold ministers was given to the body of Christ, to the church, to teach them, equip them for what? To sit in the pew, and we give you a salary to preach what we want you to preach. And if we don't like it, we hired you, and we will fire you. That's the way it goes on at a lot of places. It's never been that way here. God set us up different, and I believe it for one thing, that very reason. Because there is way too much of that going on in the body of Christ. Therefore, we keep people dependent on the fivefold ministries. You do all of our praying for us. While you do all of our fasting for us. While we sit home and we feast and we gossip on the phone. Come on, somebody. We was never called to do that. Fivefold ministry was never called to do that. And the body of Christ was never called to do that. And that has been part of the problem at a lot of places for way too long. And how many knows Jesus is coming? I mean, he is right around the corner. And we have a harvest that we have got to get in. And it's going to take every single one of us. And at this church, I'm sorry that some of y'all have had to do more than what you should have. And I thank you all for your service to the Lord and to this part of the body. While some you have not done as much as you should have. I want to commend Monty. I went by, I don't know if you saw me, Monty, but when I went by, I blowed the horn and went like this. And then I wrote a message on April's post. I said, you go, Monty. Snatching them out of the fire, like the Bible says. Because you have no idea, Monty, who heard you yesterday. And you may never know until we get there. But there was people here. There's apartments straight across from you. Oh, ain't God good. But somebody had to get out there and do it. Now, it took you a long time, maybe longer than it should. But praise God you're out there now. And every one of us in here, we support you, Monty. And we're going to pray for you in that. And if you need anything financially, whatever you need, we're here to help you. Amen? Or any of the rest of us. There's some of us in this house are doing nothing, and that ain't going to fly no more. We need nursery for Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. Now I have somebody for Friday night. Let me tell you something. Somebody that don't even is a member of this church signed up to do nursery Sunday morning while others in this church have not said a word. That's part of my disclaimer. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm not judging anybody. I'm not the convictor. But how many knows? I am telling you the truth. Some of us had done more than what we had to. Just like tithing, I told y'all the statistics last week. They say 7 to 10% of the church, the body of Christ, that consider themselves to be Christian, church attending Christians, tithe. That's sad. We could have done way more already in the kingdom of God with more finances. Why, land ain't free. Buildings ain't free. Airtime on TV is, I'm telling you, for 30 minutes, they'll pay something like $1 million. For 30 minutes of airtime. Are you serious? Imagine how much airtime they could have had if all of them was tithing and giving into the kingdom of God. And how many more souls could have been won to the kingdom of God and His glory? Right? So that means all this has got to change and going to change because God's putting out the call to His people. So my disclaimer is, if you hear something hard, you are at the right church. Because if you go to a church that you never feel any kind of convicting, ever feel any kind of convincing, which all is the power of the Holy Ghost, right, and the Word of the living God, if you're never compelled to go high, you're at the wrong church. Because they ain't none of us 100% got it all worked out walking in His fullness all the time. And the Apostle Paul that wrote about 1/3 of the New Testament, he said, I press, right, toward the prize of the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus. Ain't none of us made it there yet. But every one of us should be striving. What's that mean? Every one of us going to have to be working in the body. You may think, I'm not called to that. Listen to me. Scotty, y'all heard the story. Evangelist, he goes to the jail. He's got this in his heart about being preaching. Brother Brad, I'm sure, is kind of like, okay, we'll see. That is a wonderful place to take somebody that says they're called to preach. We're going to find out. Because them people ain't in there for going to Sunday school too much. Well, I never had anything. I never had desire or anything. I wanted to do for God, but never no direction or whatever. Anyway, and I knew I would never go to the jail. I told Scotty, I said, I'm not called to the jail. I will never go to the jail. Tell God that. Lo and behold, we're coming back from church one morning. I can see it right now, just plain as day. We're over there on that road, whatever that is. Is that 91 over there? Whatever that road is. Anyway, we're coming around that curve over there, and I've got this. It comes up from down in here about going to the jail, and I thought, what? And I'm excited. And I told Scotty, I said, I'm going to the jail. He just looks at me. I said, I'm going to the jail. Lo and behold, I didn't know this. God set it all up. The woman that's going to the jail at the time, I didn't know her. But that's going to the jail at the time, she's moving. She's moving out of town. And the lady that's going to replace her, there's about a two-week span that there's going to be nobody going to the jail because she's leaving before this other lady can get moved and start going down there. I don't know all this, but God does. Well, lo and behold, for that two-week span, guess who's going? Teresa. I want a lady to the Lord in there. Her name was Jean. She was only there for that 2 weeks, and then she got sentenced and sent to Tutwiler. Why am I telling you? You may feel like you're not called to a certain thing, and you may not be forever. But how many knows God can anoint you and appoint you for however long, an hour, if that's what He needs you to be there. So don't think, I'm not called to that or that's not my thing. Your thing is whatever He tells you that your thing is. And the thing about it is, if you think you can't, believe Him, you can. None of us, even if we're called to it, can do it without His grace, without His mercy, without His anointing. It's the one that moves, removes every burden and destroys every yoke of bondage, right? Can't none of us, but He can. That lady got sent to Tutwiler. I only went there for that 2 weeks, and then the door was closed. Right after that, like I said, I didn't know these people or nothing. All I knew was what I had in my heart. Right after the door got closed for me to quit going, the lady that was going down there that had left, she shows up at Faith Restoration and gets up there and gives the testimony of what I just said. And told about how there was going to be a two-week span that nobody would be going. But God knew that Jean was going to be over there. And somebody had to get over there and preach to her so she could believe and lead her to the Lord. Because sometimes people, the Holy Ghost is dealing with them, but they don't know what to do. And they got to have somebody that can access them to God for them to be born again. And that person is you. That person is me. If anybody and everybody that is born again, why? Because we might not be fivefold ministers, but we are God's representatives. His co-laborers, the Bible said. And we're going to read the scripture here in just a minute if we get to it. Y'all calm down a little bit where I can kind of slow down a little. Did we read our scripture? Oh, okay, then we will now. So anyway, the disclaimer is, if something cuts you, take it. Just like over there in the book of Acts, when the Apostle Peter stood up and he began to preach after they was baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says when he preached, they was pricked in their hearts and said, what must we do to be saved? So it's needful. Whether you're saved or lost, it's always still needful. Now, verse 35, yeah. This is in the Amplified. Oh, we did read part of verse 35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, me and you too, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of disease and every weakness and infirmity. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Remember we read that last week? We do it too. When he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them. Because they were bewildered, harassed, and distressed, and dejected and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, he's saying it to me and you, we're his disciples, the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers, they're few. He said, so pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out. That sounds like somebody saying, well, that's really not my thing. Don't it? It says, force out. Force them out, God. And then he goes on. He says, to force out and thrust laborers, he says, into the harvest. What is the harvest? Lost people. People that have not been born again. They are the harvest. Who is the laborers? Every born again believer. Every person that has been born again, you are supposed to be a laborer and co-laborer with God. I am supposed to be. Now, let me say this. We have been praying for years, and God's had to tweak my thinking a little bit about this and my praying and all of that. Now, we got revival coming up Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning with Evangelist Michael and Jennifer Vickers, right? Y'all all that was here, y'all met him, y'all heard the story, how that got set up. We did not know him or anything like that. God set that up, and he's setting up this revival. Okay, y'all remember Rondé was here a few weeks ago. He was sitting right up here. He wasn't even preaching. If I remember right, Scotty had already got the microphone from him. And he said right here, and he said, y'all, talking about this church, this part of the body, he said, are right on the edge, he said, of a move of God. Y'all remember that? He said, ministries are even going to change. And I'm going to tell y'all that are listening by way of Facebook, by the word of the Lord, that you know you're supposed to be in this house. You're born again, and you know you're supposed to be here, and you're not here. Somebody's fixing to take your spot and receive your reward. You better get here. Don't mean you ain't saved. Don't mean you won't go to heaven. But y'all remember the parable of the talents, right? There's some of us, we're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then there's going to be others of us that are going to hear what the other one heard, that took his talent and he hid it. He didn't do nothing with it. He said, you lazy, slothful, wicked servant, right? Go into outer darkness. There's some of you that are listening to me, that's your deal if you don't get it changed. And it's not God's will, and it's not ours either, but how many knows it's all up to you. Y'all remember the story whenever Scotty told you, Pastor told you about, he went on the streets of Aniana down there in that big parking lot by McDonald's. Y'all remember the story, right? He was not God's first choice. I don't say that. He doesn't say that. He's out there doing it, and a guy pulls up on the street and says, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm preaching the gospel on the streets out here. He said, God told me to do that. Listen, God will only wait on you so long because he's got a harvest to get in. It's kind of like you're believing God for $500 and it's taking somebody 3 weeks and 2 weeks of fasting to ever get over there when they need it the first day. And if you don't do it quick when they need it, God will send somebody else. Don't mean you'll lose your reward. Every one of us that operates in the kingdom of God and we do what he's telling us, we will be rewarded. Here and now, some of it, but later on when we get there, other things, right? The Bible talks about crowns that we will get to the faithful, that we'll cast them down at his feet because we know we didn't do it ourselves. But it was given to us. Then there'll be others of us there. You are just barely saved by the blood of Jesus, and that is all. That you'll have absolutely no reward. Because you never did anything in the kingdom of God. But he says here to thrust out laborers. Now let me go back to what I was talking about. Rondé said that we was right on the edge of a move of God, that ministries would change. There's some people that's operating in parts of ministry that when those that get in here, see, they're not laborers yet. They're harvest right now. But once they get born again, they become laborers just like me and you. Then they'll be brought in here, then we will train them, and then we won't have to do quite as much, or maybe even what we are doing right now that has been God for you to do, maybe even all this time, will change. You understand what I'm... And don't get upset about that. But we've been praying for years, God send us laborers to help us. Right? God... Michael and Jennifer Vickers, this revival, they are the laborers that God has sent to help us. And they are not the only ones. They have prayer teams. They have ministries that they've been in touch with, that they're around. Just last night, they was in a service that they was interceding, them two and all the ones that they was with, interceding for me and you. And for God to send laborers here, and that all of us would hear and do. But how many knows, it's kind of like we're in a ball, I see it like we're in a ball game right now. Y'all, all of y'all seen a ball game before, a football game, or been to one? Watched it on TV or something? Y'all ever seen them Alabama-Auburn games, Sandy? That they're tied up. And I mean every one of them has given it all that they had. Some of us here have done that. And you're on the last play of the game. I'm telling you, this is where we are. On the last play of the game. And what you got to do, it ain't a time to give up. It ain't a time to slack up. It's a time to draw on the power and the anointing of God and push just a little bit further. Go just a little farther than what you thought you could, or do more than what you thought you could. And bam, baby, we are there. I'll never forget that, Sandy. Y'all just run that in the ground with us, y'all Auburn fans. Hey, Bama, you got a second? I've never forgot that. That's what we're going to tell the devil. You got a second? Why? Because we win. The winner's in us. He leads us, guides us, equips us. Right? But we can't quit. Listen, you can't drive a parked car. You've got to put that baby in out of park into reverse, not even neutral or drive, and get your foot off the brake and let it go. That's where we are right now as a body, as a church. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is dealing with these people. Listen to me. And don't say, I shared it on Facebook. Really, how much did that cost you? I'm glad that you didn't. Listen, don't misunderstand me. I'm glad that all of us should be. But there's flyers back there. Have you put any out at your local grocery store that you go to? Or your local gas station that you go to? We need everybody to hear. Right? I don't know about you, Samantha, but most people on my Facebook page, they're saved. Because I don't put up with the crap out of them that are not. I don't want to see the junk that they're posting. You blankety blank, blank, blankety blank, blank, I don't put up with that. So most of the people, not all, but most of the people that see my page, they're already. Don't invite the saved here for this revival. We're not looking for them. Jesus, what left the 99? They are the 99. They're saved. We're not looking for those. We're looking for the one. Right? The one that their lives have been ravaged by sin and the devil. We're looking for those. Jesus is calling those. So don't be inviting people. No, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, right? If they're going to bring somebody lost, we invite them. But we need your seat. We don't need the saved over here. We need seating and parking for the lost. Why? They are the harvest. And God has opened the door to us. Now is our time. So be inviting people. Well, I don't want to be annoying. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you, it's like this is back up in me again. And when I'm like this, it's like I feel like I'm an evangelist. And I'm not. But it is the heart cry of God because He loves people. I told Scotty, I said, I'm telling you right now, I have been too soft on them people in that giveaway. Come Saturday morning, Sandy, if they ain't saved, they gonna be saved. Now, I'm not talking about but not being annoying, and I'm not talking about not giving them free choice. They always got a free choice. But no more am I going to ask you, do you want somebody to come pray for you? Can somebody? I'm going to ask them, are you saved for real? Do you know Jesus as your Lord? Because, see, I'm supposed to care, Johnny. They're going to hell if they don't, and I'm supposed to care. And if I care more and love the Lord more and care more about them than what they could possibly say to me, I have a guy that comes out there, which I ain't seen him in, I don't know, a month or two, I guess. And I don't care. I keep asking you. Some of them I forget that I asked you, you know, do you want prayer or do you need a Bible? I want to make sure everybody out there got a Bible. Anyway, he comes through there. Month after month, you know, well, yeah, I'll say, would you like somebody to come pray for you? I don't believe in all that. I said, do you need a Bible? I don't believe in all that. Well, go on to the, okay, you know, that's your deal, whatever. Well, go on to next month, you know, I get to him, I say, would you like somebody? I told you I don't believe in all that. Well, whoop-de-doo, Johnny. I don't care, because you know what? If he's right, I ain't lost nothing. But if he's wrong, Sandy, I didn't tell him the truth, and he's lost everything to spend eternity in hell. Right? So I got to make sure. Now, everybody got your own choice, but come that giveaway, it ain't going to be mealy-mally milk toasting around with them no more. If you ain't saved, you're going to get saved if there's anything that I have to do with it. Amen? I'm telling you, that's the attitude we got to have. The Bible says in the book of Jude, we're supposed to be snatching them out of the fire. Not saying, you're in the fire, would you like to come out? Of course not. The Bible says, for one thing, there's pleasure in sin, but only for a season. And when you get to the end of your life, they get to the end of their life, that's it. There is no change in it. So we got to do everything we can do right now out of and because of the love of. There's nothing God loves more than people. He gave everything in the best that heaven had to offer, which was His only Son. Because every one of us to have done wrong, for it to be put on Him. And Jesus loved us so much, He said, Father, I'll take it. And all we have to do is receive that sacrifice. Right? Now, He said that He would send laborers, thrust out laborers into the kingdom. We are the laborers. Now we got to get with it. We've done good so far, but we got to do even better. Because God, the Holy Ghost, is dealing with these people in an open door for us to get them in, to get them in here. Then we train them, we get them born again, we train them up, and then they become the laborers here in the kingdom of God. For us. Do you understand? That's the way it's supposed to be. It's just a cycle. All the time, there's supposed to be people just like in the earth. There's babies being born every single day into the earth. There is people departing, going to be with the Lord, or going to hell every single day. It's a cycle as long as the earth remains. It's the same in the kingdom of God. That cycle is supposed to be going all the time. People being born again into the kingdom of God, doing their labor, and then leaving here and going to be with the Lord, right? So we have to make sure that we're on it. Now, so, and if you are a member here, do the best you can maybe to park on this side. I'm parking down here. Why? We need the space. If you got personal items or whatever, Wednesday night after church, take them home with you. Do something with them. Don't leave stuff in the pew where people are like, well, somebody's sitting there, and you're the only one sitting on that pew. Okay? Why? We want to make sure that they're welcome here. Right? Because we want them. God wants them. Now, let me go on with this. Luke chapter 10. I think it's where I want to go. I think this is, best I remember, almost the same thing that he said over there. Yeah. It says at verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Why? He sends out prayers and preachers. Because he's coming. Right? That's what me and you are, prayers and preachers. Why? God is coming. You go on here and he says, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are for you. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Like I told you, this revival is set up by God. Jennifer and Michael Vickers are sent here to help us to get in this harvest. They want to meet with us Thursday, and Scotty will go over all of y'all or whoever Thursday or whatever. Because, see, they're part of the fivefold ministry. They're coming here to equip me and you to better get in the harvest, better equip us, right? That's what the evangelist is supposed to do, every one of the fivefold ministry. Now, let's go on here. Excuse me. I looked up the word laborer or labor. It says it means to work, not sit in the pew. Y'all, none of y'all said amen. See, that's the problem with a lot of Christians for too long. We've just been sitting in the pew. Listen, not everybody. Or they would nothing have been done, nowhere. But all over the world, too many Christians are just satisfied with getting up, going to church. The people should be here in Sunday school this morning that's not here that could be here, that are members of this church. And that's not to down anybody. But just to prove to you what I'm telling you is so. Just like this morning, I'm doing Sunday school right now. If Chris is not here, I'll have to play the drums at 11 o'clock. Then I have nursery. I go back there. If there's kids, I'm going to do the kids. Then at 5 o'clock, I'm on the praise team. I got to be back down here at 5 o'clock. When I leave here, I'll go home and I'll get the book out and I'll write down everybody's tithe and offering that was given here. I got a full day. While there are others, you come and you sit and you listen and you get fat and you go out and do nothing with what you've heard. And that's part of the reason why your life is not increasing like you think it should. Just like this in the natural. You feed yourself good, good nutrition, but you need some movement. Right? Now, so he says there, labor means to work. It says it denotes action or active zeal in contrast to useless busyness. Jesus said, I have to be about my Father's business, right? Ben, you have to be about the Father's business more than anything else, more than my own personal desires, my own personal interests. When it comes to the kingdom of God, I have to lay things down if I possibly can, right? Whether it's what I want and come and do the work. Why? I have to be about the Father's business. And that's every one of us. Now, let's look at... I think I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And like I said, I'm not getting on to you. I'm not trying to condemn anybody or anything like that. But sometimes God has to stir us up because we can get complacent and lose sight of what is the most important. You're going to leave here one day. I'm going to leave here one day. And I don't want to get up there and him say to me, you wicked, you lazy. You didn't do what I wanted you to do. And I don't want to get up there and find out God had to send somebody in my place to do the things that he wanted me to do. Right? You don't either. We all want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And we will. All we got to do, just go do what he says. And if there's a need, get in there and fill it. You know, you don't really have to have a great anointing to scrub a toilet. Now, some people, they might. Some people, I mean, they just don't know how to clean at all. But I'm telling you, when it comes to math or book stuff, they're bam, 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 bam. So, I mean, I'm not talking about that. Most people, especially if you've ever had at least one kid, don't have to have a special anointing to keep the nursery. Now, you may need a nerve pill. No, I'm kidding. Not really. Strike that from the record. I'm just kidding. There's probably not anybody in here that might would need it more than me. But the thing about it is, God can help you. He can anoint you. And don't go in there looking at it, oh, God, I got to keep these kids. Go in there and have fun. Be a kid yourself. I got some stuff on there. Y'all can dance. You can sing. All kinds of stuff, right? The door's closed. Just have at it. It'll make you feel better. First Corinthians chapter 3. For time's sake, I'm going to start reading in I guess we probably better start in verse 5 for time's sake. Now, to back up just a little bit for what this is. They're having a problem over here. The Corinthians, they have got the gifts, boy. They're born again. They got the spirit. But, boy, do they got the flesh. Right? He told them, he said, I wanted to come speak to you as spiritual, impart spiritual things. He said, but, boy, you are carnal. Y'all fuss and fight and pray in tongues and lay hands on each other. I'm paraphrasing. But then he goes on, because one of the problems that they're having here that he's discussing with them is, one is saying, hey, I got born again under Paul's ministry, so I'm better than you are. Come on. Or, I got saved under Apollos. Y'all ain't got what we got. We got the real Jesus now. There's never supposed to be any kind of division of that. Because the Bible says that one plants, one waters. But anyway, that's what's going on here at the time. Now, we're going to pick this up in verse 5. He says, and this is amplified, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? And he tells us, ministering servants. That's exactly what me and you are. Ministering servants, not heads of parties through whom you believed, even as the Lord appointed to each his task. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was making it grow, and he gave the increase. You never know when you're the waterer, and you never know maybe when you're the planter. But you plant. One waters, and God is going to give the increase. He said if we would bid him what? he would draw them. Go on here to verse 7. He says, so neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters. We're all just laborers. He goes on here, and he says, but only God, no, yeah. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but only God who makes it grow and become greater. He who plants and he who waters are equal, one in aim. Another thing that I remember Ron Day said here, he said, there'll be no big I's or little U's. He said, all of y'all work together. He said, and y'all will remember the things that we have taught y'all when the time comes. Y'all remember him saying that? Because, see, that's how we are here. We don't want y'all looking to us and depending on us. We know who and what we are. We're just called Fivefold Ministries to equip y'all. But you never have a... Now you have. Because it's been a couple of times the clock didn't go off or something other. So for that reason, we wasn't at give. You never work a giveaway other than that, though, that we do not work with you. There's not a person in this church that has done some part of this ministry that I have not done. And I am the pastor's wife. I'm called to help him. Just like this, I am willing, I do. Like I said, today will be my day in the nursery if there's kids here or whatever. But how many knows, I'm his helper. Samantha, it's not for me to be back there in that nursery and you standing up here helping him. Why? That's not your calling. You get what I'm telling you? I am the one called. I didn't put myself there. But I am, because we are one and we are called into this ministry together to help y'all and to equip y'all, I am the one that is supposed to be up here standing side by side with him if he needs something as a woman or as a helper, right? But yet at the same time, I am willing to do whatever I need to do. Every one of us has to be willing to do whatever needs to be done and not need a title to do it. Because he says, none of us are anything. We're equal. We're all just laborers together. He goes on and he says, he who plants and he who waters are equal, one in aim, of the same importance and esteem, yet each shall receive his own what? Reward. Glory to God. See, we're going to get a reward. We're not doing it for nothing. He says, wages according to his own labor. He says, for we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with who? With and for God. God, if he's going to do something in the earth, he has to have people. Right? He said in one place, he said, I do nothing in the earth, he said, without I reveal it to my prophets first. He's bound himself to work through people. Just goes to show you how God knows exactly how big he is. That he would choose to bind himself to work with flawful man. Mankind, in other words, because we are one. Right? And still win the battle. Oh, he is so great. Now, let's look at... let me read this. I wrote this down. According to the scripture here that we just read, that we're co-laborers together with and for God. It says, this means Christians, born-again believers, are active partners with God in his service, working together to build his kingdom, not our own. His kingdom. We share the gospel and nurture faith. It is a privilege and an honor where believers act as God's co-workers or his representatives or stewards, using their gifts that he's given them to serve while relying on his strength. Right? That is a wonderful thing to me. That is so humbling to me that God, that you would pick people like us to work with us and through us, to minister to other people and to build his kingdom. That is an awesome opportunity. Amen? Let's look at Mark 16. Very familiar scriptures. Probably all of us in here could quote it. And that's good. Everybody knows there's times we got to get out of the quoting and get to doing. Now's the time. Not to say that we haven't been. I was coming down here. Now, I'm not a big social person, and I don't even have to tell y'all that probably, you know, or whatever. It's not that I don't like people. Let me let y'all in on a little secret. A lot of times I get nervous. I don't know what to say, and then I say something dumb. Now, maybe y'all can't tell that because, see, this is not, it's me, but it's not me. God's working through. Up here, I'm not nervous. I am bold. But a lot of times when I'm not under that kind of anointing, I'm quiet. I'm shy. I'm reserved. I don't have nothing to say sometimes or whatever. So therefore, I'm a little bit awkward sometimes in social settings or whatever. But anyway, this is coming up. I thought, doggone, I'm telling you, God, we just claim Bluntsville for you, God. I'm at the house. I bought me a printer. And not for this reason, but anyway, other reasons. And I'm fixing to leave to come down here. I'm doing some cleaning at the church and stuff I got to get done or whatever before this revival. And I have this thought, and I believe it to be the Lord. If the devil can give you thoughts, God can too, right? I have this thought. Because I have that flyer on my phone from back there. Make one of them flyers on your copy or whatever and go by the post office and put one out there. Johnny, I don't do that. I'm more of one of them, I shared it. Glory to God. Y'all get what I'm saying, right? Because it's the least that I have to be around people or deal with people. Anyway, and I thought, okay. And when I said okay, I felt excited. I thought, glory to God, let me get down there to that post office. And I thought, what if one of them's already done it? Y'all didn't! I get down there and I thought, okay, God, I'm going to go in there and ask them. I'm not going to be rebellious. I'm going to go in there and ask them. You know what I'm saying? I don't own the post office. So I go in there and I ask that lady, oh, yeah, sure, just put it right out there. Well, I thought she was talking about to the right on that glass thing over there that's at the post office or whatever. So I go out there and I get my flyer and my tape and all that stuff. And I go back in and I said, now, did you want me to put it over there? She said, oh, no. She said, that's post office stuff. She said, right there, you are not going to walk in that door without seeing that flyer. You are not going to mail your letters in that little drop box without you see that flyer. Do you know how many lost people possibly go in that post office every day? I thought, glory to God. I'm telling you, on the inside, I felt so good. I felt so excited, and I thought, okay. I gave them one at the bank, too, which they didn't put it up there. I don't know if they're allowed, but they know about it. Anyway, I took them some Krispy Kreme, too. The Bible says use my money to make friends with the world. What better way than Krispy Kreme donuts, hallelujah, to the tellers. Anyway, because that one is gone, but we're not going to get on that. Anyway, stop laughing too loud, Johnny. We're not going to get on that. Anyway, so I'm down here and I'm cleaning everything. I'm telling y'all, don't bypass these little thoughts that you think might just be you. Like I said, if the devil can give you a thought, God can too. And listen, the way you'll know is what will be the fruit of that thought. If you act on that thought, what will be the fruit of that? But anyway, I'm down here and I do my stuff, you know, and I finally get done. I'm about to leave. I'm just wrapping up what I'm doing or whatever. I have another thought. Make another one of them flyers. Because I'm down here and they're laying over there. Take it to the pawn shop. Y'all didn't get over there either. And the Holy Ghost knew it. So take it to the pawn shop. And I thought, oh, I don't want to go in there. You know, it's darkness in there. Have y'all been in there? How many knows you can feel darkness? If you're sensitive, you know darkness when you get around it. Anyway, I thought, I really don't want to go over there. I thought, okay, glory to God. That's the ones I'm looking for. Them that has been in that pawn shop, that has took everything over there that they can possibly beg, borrow, or steal. They're the ones we want, God. Well, I went right over there to that pawn shop. And I told him, I said, hey, I said, our church is having revival this weekend. I said, and I want to know if it'd be okay if I put up a flyer. He looked at it. There's two guys in there. He looked at it. He said, yeah, there's a board right over there you can put it up on. Well, anyway, I said, okay, thank you. And I'm hanging up that board. I said, hey, I said, the revival, I said, is going to be Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. I said, y'all come. I said, if you can, I said, and bring somebody with you. I said, because we're believing it's going to be good. Just have to get out of park. I thought, I come out there and I said, Holy Ghost, I did not feel awkward. I didn't stutter. And I didn't look for something to say. He'll help you. Anyway, they said, oh, what's that over at Glenn or Scott? I said, it's Scotty. So where's that at over there? I said, you know, what's that called, Garden City Road or whatever? I said, it's over there. You go to the red light, turn right. I said, it's on the left where that big purple sign. Oh, yeah. They know where we are, Johnny. But I thought, that's the ones we want, God. The drug dealers, the drug head, not dealers, but heads, that's been, we call them drug heads or whatever, that have been over there, God, that they everything they can beg, borrow, and steal, they take to that pawn shop to get more money for drugs and different things. They're the ones we're after. We're not after them that's sitting at home watching Facebook that should be at their own church. Right? Oh, he's so smart. Take it to the pawn shop. And y'all did not, so I'm just letting y'all know. I've got Cadence Bank, the pawn shop, and the post office cover. Go somewhere else. Now, I have not been to Lucky's yet or We Totem or whatever. And some places, they don't want you to put that up. So don't be rebellious. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to work. Anyway, I got to get on with this. Gosh, I'm out of time here. Y'all know what Mark 15 through 20 says, right? I'm going to read the last part here, and then I've got to close because of time. Let me get right there right quick. Right? These signs shall follow them who believe. Okay. Y'all probably quote that one, but let's go on down to the latter part of that and show you what he's going to do. Verse 19, it says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, talking about to his disciples, and we are his disciples today, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. He had told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Our job is to preach the word. The Holy Ghost's job is to demonstrate the word, right? Not our job, but he can't demonstrate what we don't preach. So I want to encourage everybody, don't lose heart, and everybody get in on this revival and operate wherever you're needed, right? I mean, gosh, it's 3 days out of your entire life. I mean, hello, don't let the devil make it seem like something that it's not. It's not like it's a lifetime of nursery. I mean, serious. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say or anything before we close? All right, you're welcome. Recess till 11. Let's fix that recess. Amen.